I'm with Rob Harrison at the NACE 2012 conference. Rob, can you tell me your views on, let's say, Vanessa's speech this morning, and we'll get on to other things possibly. What are your views on the whole idea of this curriculum coming up and what we need to do with it?
I thought Vanessa's speech is really encouraging. I mean, I think we've had 18 months of virtual silence from the government about the role of ICT, and I think many of us, including me and Julian, who were at BET, were rather taken aback by Michael Gove's speech. And I think we have to thank Vanessa and David Lee and some of the people inside DfE for making sure that was in and all that was in. Coincidentally, I heard somebody describe it like Michael Gove's speech at BET was like hearing a five-year-old reading Shakespeare. Might have been one of your quotes, actually, Leon. But I think the political reality is much better now because for whatever reason and whatever motivation, Michael Gove seems to have seen the light. I'm not sure about Nick Gibb, but I don't think that matters particularly too much. And what Vanessa did this morning was outline the government's position, and simply it's this. No more state interventions, no more top-down strategies. The days of Bechter are gone, the days of strategy being imposed. This is an era of schools know best. Now, you and I both know that all the research tells us that some schools know better than others, but not all schools know best. So I think the key challenge emerging from all that is how do we ensure that there's sufficient points of aggregation that having 1,000 flowers bloom is great, but it costs a lot of money. And so what we really need to do is, okay, start off with 1,000 flowers blooming, but then how do we create fields or points of aggregation where we can share and learn from each other? Now, I think, and I'm really excited about this, that the teaching schools are going to be a massive driver of change in this respect. And last week, the first meeting of the Teaching Schools New Technology Advisory Board got together, which has got HE institutions, the four lead ICT teaching schools, industry, Apple, Toshiba, Google, Microsoft, Intel, and the DfE, TDA. And we've come together. And one of the first jobs that we've got to tackle is what's currently going on in another room here in NACE, which is what do we mean by computer science and what should be on the curriculum? I mean, at the moment, the legal position is we still do have a national curriculum for ICT and it still is prescribed. So until the consultation ends, until September 2012, we've got what we've got. But after that, it's a blank screen, shouldn't I use the appropriate metaphor? The key question is, do we want everybody reinventing the wheels? Well, absolutely not. So there are two emerging strong views coming from this. Some of it's coming from the NACE community and other is coming from, you know, the Eric Schmidt, Google, BCS, British Computer Society, Computer at School Society thing. And I think what's really absolutely critically important, and I've got some personal experience of this with Toshiba, because I work for Toshiba, when we entered into a battle with Sony with the HD DVD and the Blu-ray, if we'd have known what we know now, we would have never got into that battle because it cost us an awful lot of money, time and resource, and actually it damaged the brand. We recovered. So the last thing schools need, the last thing, when I was a principal, the last thing I would want is two competing ICT stroke computer science stroke whatever we want to computer studies stroke curriculum models coming out puts me in an invidious position. So I think Vanessa's speech was timely. I think the teaching schools meeting is timely. I think the NACE discussions that are going on at the moment are going to be incredibly useful, but ultimately we need to have a consensus and a united view about what we want our young people to learn. Then it's up to schools to make the best of it, So is that okay?
Well, it's great, but for me, what people aren't discussing, and I can see your point about computing at schools and all the different tribes and all the different wants and all the different lobbying and the commercial lobbying that's gone on. But what people need to go back is to think about computational thinking, but also to think about digital literacy underpinning all this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I'll give a plug to my old friend Merlin John. Go to www.agentforchange.net. There's a great article on there today that Merlin's put together, which identifies that. And in fact, Jim Knight, who's leading one of the tasks, he's actually leading the computer science task group. And I make the point as well, and he does, that actually, and if I'm absolutely honest, Leon, I think it's of more importance that the digital literacy and also the teaching, the use of technology across the curriculum in all subjects to improve learning. For me, that's more critical than the computer science stuff. I think there is another dimension, if I just put my Toshiba hat on for a minute, which is the technical skills. So for me, there are four themes that really emerge. Now, you know, I'm sure academia, Peter Twining and Miles Berry and a few others will wrap this up into a thesis. But for me, there are four critical themes. The first one is computer science, computer studies. The second one is how do we use technology across the curriculum to improve learning for all pupils. The third one is digital literacy for all pupils. Now, all right, we can get into definitions and arguments, but I think you know what we're talking about here. And the fourth one, which has not really been crystallised as yet, but I'm putting my industry hat on, is the technician skills, the technical skills. But as Merlin says in its piece, it's about a spectrum, I think, and it's about us having the teachers and the teacher's capacity, confidence and capability to teach right, not an individual teacher, but a range of teachers who can teach right across that particular spectrum. Because it's not an either-or situation, is it? All those things blend into each other. And who knows, you know, this month's child who starts some digital literacy development might be the next Stanford graduate that comes out into Silicon Valley and starts the next Facebook or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that's a big issue. I mean, is it Paul Haig is yes. involved in, yeah, in your
Paul
thing?
Paul Haig's the lead. Paul Haig is the lead teaching skill, because the really important point is this, that, as Vanessa said, the government are taking a step back. They're not going to tell you. Michael Gove was very clear. The days of the Bechtel Anderson technology strategy have gone. So it's about schools identifying what works and then sharing with the network of schools exactly what works. But I think there's a really important point. I'll just finish on this. There was this morning, really interesting, the juxtaposition of Vanessa and then David Brown from Ofsted, because funnily enough, I've just got off the phone from another school that I work with, which is a teaching school, and it just had an Ofsted inspection last week with ICT. It was a subject ICT specialist inspection. Now, the report that David Brown was quoting from this morning was really, really old data. I mean, it's 2008, most of the data was 2008, 2009. Well, you know, you don't need me to tell you the world's moved on since 2008, 2009. But the key question, and I'm going to write a piece on this for Merlin, which is in the inspection that in this school last week, I've asked him to keep a diary, because I'm not confident, and I didn't come across from David Round this morning, that Ofsted actually do know what they're looking for. So if they don't know what they're looking for, how can we have any confidence in their judgment? So I think there's a challenge there.
Yeah, just to sort of top and tail it, for me, what's really interesting is that there aren't enough teachers anyway to teach computer science.
No,
so what you need to do, in my opinion, is co-opt people from industry, but also get those transactional skills going between teachers and between people from industry, so that people who want to show coding and do that are sustained financially, but they have to trade on the pedagogical skills, which often they don't have.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. And I spent probably about 15 to 20 years of my... I was in secondary schools first, and then I went into further education and then higher education. Now, in further education, we had a great model, which was for teaching on full and part-time courses, that we would use industry people. Now, that FE allowed us to do that. So the rule of thumb was... if you had a full-time course, in the full-time courses that I used to run, 60 to 65% of the staffing of that full-time course would be full-time faculty, full-time members of staff that would teach the core stuff. But the expert stuff, then we would need to bring people from industry in to teach that. So, I mean, in Sheffield in those days, for me, it was the engineering, the science, the maths, the leisure and recreation, where we would bring people in. And we could do that because it was flexible. We could bring them in the evenings and so on. So I think there's definitely a need for that. Because at the moment, let's be honest, we just don't have the capacity.
Yeah, and for me, what's interesting as well is that if we had some kind of action research, which then fits into formative assessment, unlike Ofsted, which is always summative, always catching up, always looking in the rearview mirror, as you posted this morning on Twitter, then you actually have a point where you could say, right, as they do in Finland, we can reflect on this practice, but we can also sort of accredit it or embed those skills into the community and create some kind of joint or shared expertise network.
Absolutely. I mean, the rearview mirror comment, tongue in cheek. I mean, I could have been more cruel and said it's like looking at sepia photographs, isn't it? Because, you know, what we're talking about is preparing for the curriculum for 2013 now by looking at photographs that happened in 2008. Well, that's just nonsense. And you're right, and it's one of the reasons I never went into become an inspector, because it's not a formative and it's not a progressive process, is it? It's a let's come in. Let's take a photograph and we'll take it with our lens in the way that we're looking, and then we'll show it to you a bit later. Oh, and by the way, what you can learn from that is up to you. But we'll be coming back to take another photograph. Now, for me, that just doesn't make good sense, and it doesn't get value out of the inspectors. But I have a worry. I'd have a lot of confidence if David Brown was coming into my school, where I'm a vice chair of governors, and looking at our ICT provision. What I don't have confidence in is some of the outsourced and subcontractors that Ofsted use, or even some of the part-time ones, that quite frankly wouldn't know good practice. I mean, some of our digital leaders that we've got, you know about the Toshiba Digital Leaders Programme, one of the most exciting things and the things I'm most proud of in my career, starting that. They would be able to show Ofsted inspectors. They could teach Ofsted inspectors what to look for. But, Ofsted certainly need to up the game in this respect.
Thank you, as always, Bob. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Nice to talk to you. Is that all right?